This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, April 10th, 2008.
March. Is it a call for acclamation? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Meeting minutes from March 27th have been approved. On open microphone. This time I'd like to remind all members of the community that undergraduates are non-voting members of the Student Assembly. If they'd like to come forward and bring something to the Assembly that's not on the agenda, I'd encourage them to do that now. Sure, come on forward. Hi, just state your name and year for the record. You can have a seat. Any questions about the election? All right, thank you. Best of luck with the campaign. Yes. Yes. What are the corrections? Motion to reconsider the minutes from the March 27th meeting?
No, I don't.
Well, we've already voted on them. They were approved by the Assembly unanimously. I don't have the power to go back and overturn a decision by the Assembly unanimously. You need to motion to return to the minutes. There's been a motion to reconsider the March 27th minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? All right. Looking at the changes that Representative Asgary has pointed out, on page 13, Representative Junowitz's name is spelled incorrectly. On page 14, Ashley McGovern's name just appears. it just appears, okay. And page 15. Okay, and those changes will be noted. Yes, Andrew.
Also for part 5, it should be self-propagating and self-propagating.
Absolutely, okay. Where on that?
Oh, page 1, part 5, and that's important. Yeah,
once again, crucial.
And it's correct, part of that to Rohan.
Right, Rohan on page 1 under section 5 is Rohan, and then the football stadium is Sholkoff Stadium. Okay, are there any other questions, comments, concerns? Oh, on page 2, the formatting is incorrect. Candidates must complete, submit, and receipt. Everything is left justified, and let's just change that. Any other changes? Any motions? It's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? The minutes from the March 27th meeting have been approved.
For the second time.
For the second time, yes. Okay, moving on to announcements and reports. First, an academic integrity and honor discussion from Representative Basil. Vice President-elect Basil.
All right, so I want to go through real quick. Just spend a couple minutes talking about what you guys think. what we currently have is academic group integrity. I got an email actually this morning for participation in next year's Academic Integrity Hearing Awards. I'm not sure everyone is that sounds like that. So basically, one big factor by the terms of the students is their second board to community college. And the coach itself is really functioning like an undergraduate in the sense that it's basically managed. players themselves were much shorter in terms of an academic integrity. And ultimately, it states that, you know, Cornell really had a strong and clear commitment to maintaining that integrity. So, for example, I'll talk about really briefly the UVA honor code and the University of Colorado honor code. I mentioned those of you who were here last week briefly. Basically, the UVA honor code, to summarize in this prepared slide, young lie, young achieve, young steal. And fundamentally, every student is presumed honorable until they commit an infraction. So students can take tests at home, their room is complete them if they're sick. Students don't need a sick room from the net. Basically, there are lots of privileges. Students can, if they're in Charlottesville itself, they can, if they don't have to take a back of the wallet or something, they can tell a store owner that, you know, they'll bring back, you know, cash in an hour or two, and the store owner will trust them on their honor to do that. There exists that level of, you know, honor, you know, with the community. The honor code has been in existence for 150 years, and the way it works is, like student assembly, there's a course of certification, and over 100 support officers that investigate each of the cases and actually do a lot of sort of work around the students. So again, all students come. What happens is students commit a non-trivial infraction. So basically, if you steal a jelly bean or something dumb, you're not going to get expelled. But you can even test. I think there was one case where students stole $1 and used expelled. So they take it very seriously. But the only punishment available is expulsion. If the student becomes conscientious of infraction before they're found out, then they are given punishment and they stay at school. Otherwise, there's an honor trial that occurs, and students have a right to leave the university immediately, no trial or quite a clear trial, in which case the only punishment available is they leave the university. And students, since 1980, students have also been able to be judged by a randomly selected jury of undergraduates or by the university itself. So the track course record, they have 50 students there for no their student body has had some five stars and faster than just undergrads. They had 54 cases last year, which resulted in 30 trials, so the other 24, I guess, nine of which the 54 methods cases, the other 24 which weren't deemed judgeable. And again, this wasn't like freshmen and single diet, most of juniors who went to trial. So I guess
is there any reason why they were juniors? And I mean,
I don't know.
Okay.
That was just something that I noted in the past year.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a point that it wasn't, you know, freshmen who didn't understand the code or getting in trouble.
Okay.
Maybe you weren't earning pressure every year from a job. But so I guess fundamentally statistics from their system. 22% of UVA students reported that the honor code was a positive factor in deciding to attend UVA. So there definitely is sort of admission benefits. And 63% of students at a minimum had a conversation about honor. So at a minimum, you know, I feel like here an honor code would at least get people talking about in their work. So basically, as you all probably realize, the major problem is there's only one penalty, expulsion. So, you know, I really feel like in many ways it's kind of a naive system because, you know, when you turn in a friend, you turn in a member of your Greek house, if the only punishment available, especially if the only punishment available is to be expelled. So basically, last week, something more practicable would be the University of Colorado system where they have punishments ranging from a letter of warning, community service, et cetera, all the way down to probation, suspension, and expulsion. So there are a lot of punishments that reflect the severity of the crime. I guess that's basically the question ahead of us. Should we change UVA system versus UC system benefits, costs either way? And then some fundamental question about honor code itself. At UVA, honor violation is witnessed, the violation is not reported. Whereas in Colorado, I don't think that's the case. Also, undergrad, faculty, and grad students all be bound by the same code. So, what are your thoughts?
Liaison Tata.
First, this is what we intended.
wanted to, if you don't mind, I just wanted to give you a the single sanction rule and that would help the UVA and Fulton or asking nothing is for the Honor Code UVA. But the Honor Code UVA was instituted, there is an honor committee which deals with line of duty UN, which is more analogous to our university steering board, and called the University Judicial Committee, which deals with that email. So if you were to adopt the Honor Code here, we'd have to wonder whether we're going to still maintain this fundamental separation between academic versus other violations. Which is the UVA has really struggled with, make the line
So I guess I had some questions for Chris. Thank you for giving this presentation and all this information that I think a lot of us didn't have. But so I was under the impression that the Honor Code is purely academic, but you had mentioned some things like stealing a jelly bean. Would that be something that the Honor Code, which is run by students and enforced by students, is that something that, you know, it's outside of just the academic violations?
And that's the same thing you're saying. The whole UVA
Yeah.
No else.
Okay. I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to that. And then
they still have, a GA system as well. You know, the focus is on
that's separate.
Yeah, separate. So obviously, we can still maintain that.
Okay. Because I was trying to think, where is would this student committee, I guess you can say, be most appropriate? Would it be because it is a student-run initiative? Would it be a committee of the student assembly? Would it be just a branch off of university hearing boards, which is supposed to, in theory, represent all constituents of the university? So do you have an opinion on that?
As I see it, it would be sort of a reformation of the university hearing boards.
Okay. Okay. And I obviously just, my opinion, I like the UC system a lot better. I think it's just more comprehensive and for a university like ours that's so large and has so many layers and levels and, you know, you can probably apply 10 different honor codes. I think the UC system is better.
Just as an aside, I went to a secondary school in an environment where we were very strict in terms of stealing. Some of my classmates were expelled for stealing Pop-Tarts. So I think the principle of stealing is very important, and any act of stealing, I think, is, you know, should be adjudicated in a series like this. Greenberg.
Right.
Right. They had two more people who were
have professional homes, but they have fitted up professional homes as well. Members of the military, Navy, Army, Air Force, et cetera, from last year's field, who are they designated to be anywhere in the world that you might be. I don't quite think that's the best way to start that, but what Cornell did, I think Ben should come down ahead and said, slow and sure pace, lots of community involvement, lots of
debate,
and probably you will find so much to the extent that individuals who actually instigate the creation aren't going to be here.
Mazza.
Yield my time to the chair.
McGovern.
This is actually kind of what I was just said. I think the boundaries of the honor code are really important. I think the honor code itself could be a really good idea, but I don't think it actually should extend even off campus at all. I think it should really be a campus initiative. I mean, the danger, one that I can think of that would be really obvious at Cornell is if freshmen didn't wrap their drinking, like, might they be expelled from doing underage drinking?
Thanks, Chris, for putting this together. We appreciate it. If anyone has any other questions for Chris, I'm sure what your net idea is. Okay, so just send him an email and then maybe report back to us. Onto an Ivy Council conference report by Representative Vice President Webb.
I guess on behalf of Steve, I'd just like to thank everyone who came to the Ivy Council conference last weekend and who hosted people. Special thank you. It was a great conference. There should be a report, I think, that he's preparing and that we'll give to the Assembly, basically what we can get out of the report as an Assembly, out of the conference as an Assembly. So thanks again.
And thank you to all who came to the conference and spent at least part of your day with us. Dining committee update from Director Coombs.
Yeah, the small agenda dining committee met Tuesday. As usual, it was a lively discussion. I think people would believe how passionate people can get about something seemingly as innocuous as coffee. We did that for over a full hour the other day.
We spent 4 years of it in the hotel school.
There was a taste test recently. We discussed some stuff about that. Right there, dining, like, absolutely not really too many information, but there was a blinding discussion, and we're gonna meet again on like I said, it's basically carried through the whole hour. I hope to talk about transition next time. I think I'm gonna recommend to my successor or something, but. We're gonna have some more meetings for you know, but we are definitely going to meet if anybody has any interest, please let me know.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Any other questions for Mark? Stein?
Are we getting rid of the coffee we have currently or just proposing that?
Coffee in general is gone.
It's not funny, CJ.
I have high blood pressure, they're doing it for me.
Yeah, well, Cornell is looking at Cornell Dining is looking at what different types of companies have taste tests involving like 500 companies, and they're looking at which coffee to put where on campus. So it would depend on the different locations and things. Like I said, there was a dining was particularly, I don't get a pass a point, but there were particularly things that involved in companies and things. They didn't really want us to release in the name of the center currently, but like I mentioned, we're going to get them in. They're not even first to student input because they share everything with us at the committee meeting. So I would say if anybody is interested in this, like that they will determine which copies in different locations. Come speak to me and we'll get you in touch with the many people. And I think they would be happy to share that information with anybody in the assembly, but just within the context of the company in that meeting.
Any other questions for Mark? Ashley McGovern has an update.
So I just want to announce that we had our environmental committee meeting not last week the week before, and it was a really awesome meeting. I don't know if the minutes before it belong to everyone. But I just want to know we have some cool initiatives that might be coming up, maybe in collaboration with the Dynamic Committee or people from Dynamic Halls generally. And also we're going to have a table at Urge Day, so try and sign up people at Urge Day for the future. And we're also having a meeting two nights at 7:30 in Doyle Street Hall International Lodge.
And when is Urge Day?
April 22nd.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Did anyone have any other questions for Ashley? Res Life Committee update from Representative Simon.
Yeah, I just wanted to announce that the Res Life Committee last Tuesday, we discussed everything, including possibly having a community tournament and resident talks, having that portion with the library for hours. If you're not on the
third,
I should be
interested in speaking. This should be 15. Questions for Rami? Any other announcements or reports? Representative Sarah, engineers, go ahead. Questions for Chris? Any other announcements? Appen.
I just want to make another announcement about an event that I think is very important for all the student assembly members to attend. If you haven't heard about it, probably haven't been reading this on or know, but you all know that one of the former presidential candidates is coming to campus, which is Mike Huckabee, Governor Mike Huckabee, TJ's favorite, and he'll be coming on Tuesday, April 15th, speaking at Bailey Hall, 6 p.m., doors open at 5. I urge you all as student leaders to go. It's a very important topic about religion and politics, and I think for all of us as student leaders to hear something like that. And tickets are available at the Willard Strait Ticket Office. Between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. And we just released another, because the first 1,000 tickets were all gone, we just released another 300 tickets. So if people are interested, go there as soon as you can to get some tickets. Or maybe you could talk to me afterwards and try to convince me to give you a ticket. You could also do that. But the formal way of doing it is going to the Willow Street office and getting Willow Street office to get the tickets. But I would love to see y'all.
Questions for Achman. Achman, I want to congratulate you and the Republicans on putting this event together. It's great that we could get such a high-profile speaker to come on campus. Any other announcements or reports?
I would like to congratulate the new Executive Board President Ryan Lavin, Executive Vice President Chris Basil, VP for Internal Operations Tony Miller's in the audience, VP for Finances Greg Mezzi, and the VP for Public Relations Nikki Junowitz. Let's give them a round of applause. And as I said in the Sun, and I'll say it here, I'm very excited and confident that the new assembly will be under exceptional leadership next year when Ryan and Chris take over, so congratulations. Moving on to business of the day, SA SWAT Community Forum, how we're going to, are you going to step up there or do you want to?
I don't have to.
Are any members here to speak about the forum for the SA SWAT analysis? Okay.
You want to put, let's do...
Glando's, yeah. All right, go ahead.
I'm going
up. Yeah.
What? You want to do Facebook first? We can't find people.
What's that? Yeah. Can you speak into the microphone? Alon, why don't you preference what the discussion was in the hearings about Robert's rules, and then we'll open up to SA members.
Sure. So when we spoke briefly about the use of Robert's rules, a lot of the students that were there said that they students are all discouraged to speak in the coming years. That we need largely cost to name the local microphone and be a very limited process. The way we can set up right now, we're going to face the fire.
So I was fortunate enough to serve in the Student Association at SUNY Albany, and we used Robert's Rules for, I guess, more of guidelines than a framework. So we would follow motion with previous question, all that great stuff. But for the more nitty-gritty stuff, it would be at the discretion of the parliamentarian to sort of make the best ruling and not necessarily delve through Robert's Rules into this. I think and it was a slightly different body. So I think that, personally, I think that Robert's Rules is a little too formal, a little too esoteric for a forum such as this, and I think that we should explore maybe a pared-down version of it, maybe just referring to the abbreviated Robert's Rules or something like that, to make meetings less complicated and more of a way to facilitate ideas as opposed to going through, you know, the dredges of procedure.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to think about thinking along, because I know through a lot of work in the mission, for all the other members who showed up to this meeting, but I want to thank you guys for all putting the time into this. I decided to start with Robert's Rules of Order, that discussion, because when I read this just before yesterday, I just felt there's very something very strange about the way this is worded. I think the student assembly is a political legislative body. It's a body that is here to serve the students, but it inevitably has a political nature. And I think that the presence of Robert's Rules of Order is important for many. As you said, one for finance hearings, all that stuff. But it's also important to protect the minority or even the assembly from a tyrannical chair. And I'm not claiming that this is the procedure. I just want to clarify, this has nothing to do with you, right?
Oh, don't worry about it. Right. It's never personal.
It has nothing to do with the chair. I'm talking abstractly. The chair can, with his or her discretion, pretty much eliminate rules or set rules. And I think that's a very, very, very high, that's a lot of power to trust in one person. Robert's Rules itself already gives the chair a lot of power. You know, he or she can recognize people at any time. He or she can, leave call to question at some point. So there are things where the chair is recognized to have some power. It's already in Robert's Rules. But then to come and say, well, we just won't use it because it formalizes the meeting, it is important to have a formal meeting. It's important, especially when there's dissent, because the best way to crush dissent is have no formal order. Is having a quality informal meeting, and guess what you have? You have groupthink, dissent, and parliamentary procedures to follow. That's where Matt Guy suggested about the parliamentarian taking the judgment. That's also very problematic. One, the parliamentarian is appointed by the chair, so chances are most of their decisions will align with the chair.
And confirmed by the assembly.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's selected, it's not elected.
Right.
And so the fact of the matter is, to place such an order, such a lot of weight, and think the parliamentarian is important, make the parliamentary procedure decision, but to actually be the final deciding vote or final deciding say on a lot of like what's going to be discussed and what's not, that's very dangerous. Like, these rules are in place for a reason. They're
10 seconds.
There to make people angry. And I understand people might be frustrated, but democracy is deliberative and slow for a reason. And that is that all people's rights are protected. That's how democracy is wasn't made to function to be quick and efficient. Why? Because that way, that's the best way to crush opposition.
NASDAQ.
Thank you. I want to echo what Anya said. Thank you everyone who took the time to attend the meeting. If you want to put it together, I actually really like last month's email. That any comments people make should be taken to the fact that, you know, these are just comments and solutions we put together based upon the feedback that you've got, not necessarily just one person speaking, or, you know, that these are this is what's going to happen, we should try to keep genesis, or, you know, should we put the numbers down. That being said, I think that the issue of Robert's Rules is an interesting one. I've been sort of following this, but I've been in the organization where Robert's Rules has been much more common. The way that we already have our charter, you know, our standing order, we have Robert's Rules of Body. I think that, to be honest, we're already using Robert's Rules of Bare Minimum to this organization to begin with. I'm with your point about sometimes people might have very technicality, but let's be honest. People on both sides have issues over the past 4 years to be using Robert's Rules of Technicality. There are technicalities present in our charter, both in our standing rules, multiple times to sort of help their side. So it's hard to say that, you know, some people might be using their advantage, so we shouldn't follow our rules. That being said, I guess the one question that I have is if you propose that we should use Robert's Rules of Order as a discretion of the chair, but the charter and the standing rules are above that, and those, in my opinion, place more rules and restrictions on the common conflict with this body, but not a school. With that being said, how would you propose doing so with charter and standing rules with discretion and chairs? I mean, it's just a fair comment. If we're going to have the charter and standing rules, we're obviously just going to last notch. We might as well keep it. If they want to have their things in the charter that say, you know, that the assembly should hold informal meetings once every 6 weeks, have these kinds of discussions exactly like what you're saying. It hasn't happened for whatever reason, it may not fall to you. I'm just saying that it's a precedent for a while now, not just for this assembly, not for last assembly, but years back, that hasn't happened. So, how would you propose handling that? Are other steps supposed to have conditions for office rules?
Let me just first preface by saying that, yes, I'm very nervous. If you have near something that maybe conflict or anyone else, you know, they want, like, one to be, they'll be listening, and they might not get it, but the first thing is one person, the next one, another. These are really suggestions. So, I might be presenting to you that they figure out each other, my own person is generally together, I'll get about that. The idea behind, making certain aspects of these not looking for us, the first option is to go back and say that you're absolutely correct, and it would never be the intention of anybody having to crush the minority. I think that any time where there's going to be a majority or minority inherent in the process, Robert's rules should be involved. When you're voting on something, whenever there's a rule, there should be Robert's rules. There needs to be one. I'm not suggesting just say, write and hand rules, like set up and whatnot. But I do think that there are certain parts of our meeting heard when the group comes to describe something like what you're doing. Robert's rules, of course, regarding the speaker's list, or if there is something that's modeled in the next, however, we're not going to take a vote on it. Sometimes it's divided in a way where, you know, the guests are trying to raise their hand, trying to get whoever the other point is trying to get their attention. I think there are times when you have a
gotcha, informal
structure that could be beneficial. Along the lines of informality, too. I mean, even just right now, before the tables are set up, for the turn table to a giant rectangle, and then all the community members are here and don't want to participate in the meeting, then sit on the side of the table and engage in the meeting as well. So, what I would ask you to take away from the subject here of discussion to some of the meeting again is that Mantec and Wright can still have the discussion of standing rules. Go ahead and deviate the from Robert's rules. I think the assembly wants to be here. When you urge the assembly, I think, to recognize that often informality can have a benefit as well. Informality doesn't always have a detrimental. For
formality's sake, I'm going to impose a 2-minute restriction on speakers, and then if we need to extend it, we can do that. Mark.
Well, you know, speaking to this issue you've been talking about, one of my favorite things about the American government and American institutions is in Congress and the Supreme Court. In Congress, some of us have done some of the fun things that have been very popular. We've also done things that have been very unpopular. And in Congress, I think one of the best things is, even if you know that 434 people are going to vote against you, you have the right to go up and stand at your podium and pontificate for 15 minutes and say, this is why I am this one person, and I believe this, and I'm going to do that. And that's why one of the justices on the Supreme Court can write a dissent that hundreds of years later can be the inspiration for people to rethink these things and change their mind. It's been it's probably inspired, you know, hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of Americans in the past. I think one of the most unfortunate aspects of the essay like in my career here is that the idea, you know, like I said here, brought to the order, it can be very cumbersome when representatives are engaging in informal debate. Informal debate often leads to formal action. And if we don't, if we aren't able to all get, if everybody in the assembly disagrees with me, and you know, I'm inclined to quoting people. Maybe our founders and center. A lot of people don't think that's relevant, and they're like, let's just shut them out. To me, that's very important, and I think it's very important people listen to that. But when you try to silence that in an informal debate, you're going to eventually get a formal action that will not have had that input.
30 seconds.
So I think Robert's rules is something that, you know, protects that one person and makes sure that as ridiculous as everyone else thinks that he is, he or she is, he's able to get that message out there. And maybe in assemblies down the road, they're able to look back and say, you know what, maybe this guy wasn't such an idiot. Maybe he had some kind of point, and he was able to get it out on the record. And I think that that's the equivalent not only for that person, but for the assembly in general.
Basil. All
right. I think fundamentally what we need to realize is, you know, the Congress and the Supreme Court
we're not, you know, presenting this sense of like this is for reason. We're talking about the honor code and coffee choices at the school. I mean, these are, I don't want to trivialize what you do here because I mean, it does have, you know, a big impact on student life. But I think we need to not take ourselves too seriously in the sense that we really, I agree with the sort of SWAT criticism that we need to differentiate between discussion and debate. You know, if it means hearing someone for more than 2 minutes to get all of their points out, so we don't need to keep hearing them 2, 3, 4 times, I think that's a good idea. I think, again, protecting the rights of the minority are always important during voting, when we're discussing the issue. I feel like, you know, a little back and forth, a little bit of informality is something we've been.
Vince?
I want to, before I get into the point I was going to make, just kind of counter what Chris Representative was just saying, where I think we do a substantial amount of stuff here. And as soon as we start not taking ourselves seriously and what we talk about as trivial, then the administration will start viewing as such. Because some of the resolutions that we passed have created major change on the campus. Resolution 8, the Asian American resolution. The administration took that very seriously. The general administration took it very seriously. So most of the resolutions that we passed are viewed as major legislative things, recommendations by the students. They view it as the student body voice. So I wouldn't take that trivial. I want to get back to Robert Ward, though, that I think we could find some sort of a compromise. Maybe we could have like a charter amendment where if the assembly unanimously agrees to suspend Robert Ward order for an informal discussion, and you could have so. And if one or two members wishes to reenact it at some point, then you do so. So you can suspend it
unanimously,
or if you have one person or two people want to bring it back. That way, you could have protection of the minority with that one person, or maybe you need two people, like a motion and a second. And that sense, you could always have that. And you could enact informal discussion, like with the other side of things. So you could have that. Project. You're always protecting
resources
by making sure that you're not being eliminated at whim without unanimity. And you could reenact it very quickly with one or two people wanting it again. That's a compromise you can find too in this discussion.
Take 45 seconds.
I was just going to say, yeah, I definitely heard you guys are saying in regards to kind of the minority that is a lot more essential and it's pretty very important. Even though I do agree with Chris that, you know, sometimes you can tend to drop out a little bit and, you know, kind of go over or by that practice and whatnot. There is a version of that sometimes, but it's a key point, as you said, that we don't get results here, nobody else can. So that's important. If possible, nobody can really object. I'd like to move on to one or two other subjects before we run out of time. Doesn't have to be the data subject, we're going to have a similar discussion next week as well. So we can move on to another subject.
We have other speakers on the list that are speaking about this. So, is anyone who's on the Lavin's and Chris Sarah on the first list to speak, and then Guy, Mazdak, Ahmed, and Mark? Is there something pressing that you would like us to continue with, or I mean, let's keep in mind also as we're having this discussion that this is something that will come forward to the assembly to be changed in the future if the assembly deems that it's something that needs to be discussed. So we're just kind of, I view this discussion as merely adding to this document and providing feedback.
I'd ask if you want at your discretion to ask people who come in first, do you listen to everything to
add? Yeah, that's fine. Well, I just wanted to check. Lavin, are you good? And then Chris, Sarah, are you good?
Or a little less strict.
because I was there when the first meeting was like, I just wanted to, I mean, I think what everyone was saying is very good, and it's also a lot of that was brought up in discussion in the committee meeting, but also I want to add, I mean, just to kind of bring it into the context of our business, when discussing this, we were trying to think of recent examples where we think Robert's Rules worked well and where it didn't. For decades under the cabinet, it was very much legislation with a charge to, you know, specific department of university, and you need the efficient structuring of discussion and only Robert's Rules and everything like that. Then there was the UC campus, really was kind of like a town hall forum and kind of thing where we were thinking, hey, that might be more productive if it was a bit less formal. So we were, I think it's important to think about the things that we've heard this year and the recent past, just to figure out what process works better. And so I just want to let you know that that's how I think some of the committee discussions went. And I hope everyone keeps that in mind.
Now let's move on to the discussion about the judicial branch, because that was the next in your outline.
I'm just going to take the judicial branch one for now. Just because that was just a matter of having one or not, I'd like to go to the idea of open meetings for all meetings.
Okay.
This is going to be under public relations.
Keep in mind also, before we go into this discussion, assembly members, if you're going to speak, you know, make sure it's something that's going to be added to the document. Alon and Ryan are taking notes on this. And then if you'd like to add something that would go into the document but you don't think necessarily needs to be in front of the assembly, email them afterwards. But we don't need to have a debate here. It's more of kind of a brainstorm. We do have other items on the business, and while I think it's important that we discuss these things, I don't want to get repetitive and I don't want to get into a debate. So go on to the public relations.
So the subject will be arguably, I would say, the most important thing I can do in terms of our charge is and subject of violence on the period. It's really incredibly important to everyone to know about our charge. It's fine to disagree with our decisions, it's fine to disagree with how we're ruling.
Yeah, Jack.
It's incredibly frustrating. You're even the people accused of being essentially corrupt because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't perceive you to be transparent. So how do you address that? Well, you can essentially control what information comes out there and release information periodically, or you can essentially just say, hey, I looked at whatever you want, listen to whatever you want, come to whatever you want. It's all open for public officers of a public building. Please come in here and start. So what you suggest is, solutions to be simply want to open all general body meetings, all members of the community. This is going to include executive board meetings, also appropriations meetings. This was very potential about whether or not this should be safe, reflecting SWAT meetings about whether or not the effect has been closed. Perhaps it wasn't. Student members should no longer employ the executive session in any of the meetings. And also, all committee meetings and student members should report and upload it to the student website. RER is going to be self-available to do that, but I think that the chair should be a little bit more diligent about doing it. But on the subject of essentially eliminating executive session and just staying no bar open for anybody who wants to come.
Yeah. Achman.
I just want to say, like, I think this is very good in the sense of definitely appropriations committee meeting, like, or executive board, like, there should be no executive committee meeting, etc., like, down the suburbs or, like, the secret, like, or appropriations, especially appropriations because of money. I commend you for trying to instigate that. That's very good. The only thing I would say, Ken, Elon, if you don't, as suggested for you and Ryan, like, one thing you should add, though, is that DSA may move into executive session, insert issues of, like, secrecy is necessary. Like, what I mean by secrecy is, like, maintaining someone else's confidentiality. Like, I think we had one time, like, if, you know, salaries or some, or, like, budgetary matters are going to be discussed. The things that are not public, but, you know, let's say dining issue we discussed, we want to discuss in the student assembly. We couldn't do it publicly, but student assembly members can know. We should be able to move into executive sessions in matters that secrecy is required by, like, university or something like that. Because I think executive session does serve a purpose. I do think it was used very liberally this year and in years past, like, when we do executive sessions and committee meetings and, like, funding and stuff. And that wasn't good, but
I think, like, it does serve a purpose. I would say no committee meeting should be executive. Only the essay as a whole may move into executive session.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You're right. Tuesday, I would suggest confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
Yeah. And I think that you would have to do that. So, yeah, that's a very, very cool problem.
That's
it. Brought up points where we would, you know, it would be necessary for us to go to executive session, like budget information or salary information, you know, for like, I mean, what we're not dining committee and dining services were really discussing the issues. I mean,
is this a point of information or are you engaging?
Are you asking any questions?
Okay.
That's actually a very good question. I think that generally dining or the committee, if there's something that they cannot discuss in public, then perhaps it should come to the SA. I mean, there should be some solution. The only problem we're worried about, Ryan, by leaving executive session up to the committee, and I'll be very frank with, like, appropriate, like, that should not in any way be exact. Like, there is no reason that
I'm this is a point of information, and now we're engaging in debate. I just want to point out. Points of information are directed to the chair, anyway. I'd like to point out that appropriations held their meetings in executive session. They do not allocate money. They make funding recommendations to this assembly, and this assembly then makes a recommendation to the Board of Trustees. So let's be clear that the assembly is making a recommendation and not setting and allocating any money.
I didn't use the word allocating
or setting. NASDAQ.
Thank you. Okay. So the one thing that we did is just briefly just to correct the norms by the corporation. Unless I mean to do some of the they do allocate it. In conjunction with this body, the board of trustees where they have to oversight. When I get the goes into one, they don't really have to oversight.
Indirectly, right.
Right. Okay. So that being said, I agree with everything said here. I think that this is a good solution, especially it seems like numbers 2, 3, 4 deal off like
automatically go into executive session and make sure that, because then at that point nobody
that makes it fair and sort of subjective, but we have to go to executive session to discuss that. People have a problem with that, and we change that rule. That would be, you know, rather than say, well, I think this is private enough that we need to go to executive session, that's what the other rule. I don't think so.
30 seconds.
And just one further clarification. The reason that I ran Congress, et cetera, is not to compare the student assembly to Congress, because I know no better body from which to take an example that we can learn from. I'm not saying yes, the Congress
is too
important. I would never be so arrogant to do so. But it's the idea that, to me, there's no better legislative or judicial body we can learn from. Ergo.
Lonnie.
I was just wondering if committee meeting
I don't care about that.
Originally, we said I was going to discuss the whole committee. Obviously, you can argue that I would have a formal executive committee meeting at a certain time during the meeting, that should be open to the general public. If there's something pressing confidentiality and pressing that you want to discuss, that doesn't have to be a formal session. You can go online and discuss that. But they wouldn't even need the decisions that were going to be.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, we have one more speaker. Stein. Oh, she's good. All right, what's next?
Let's talk about the objectives that we're dealing with in my opinion here.
What section is this? Okay.
So there's been a lot of controversy about individuals who are like, they don't want to come to the table. 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 However, I think it is essential sometimes, though, that when you hear the state of people aren't operating the way that they were intended, as in something gets grounded down by 100% or 500%, or, you know, an essay of commission is making the correct assumption about the nature of the source team, therefore, it can't be part of the report you want to participate in. There's some times where the nature of subjectivity is very, very hard.
Gotcha.
Speaking to the essay associates, they recognize that applicants, you know, they're very committed to kind of giving results for all themselves in the essay handbook. I think that team of contributions to the assembly was incredibly valuable. All the organizations. Public arm of this organization. One of the things that the coaches talked about was adding one more level to the SAFC appeal process where the SAFC board themselves can overrule the decision of the SAFC before it comes to the SAFC. So this way, what that would do is eliminate the appeals where an SAFC can get here, the group's here, the SAFC co-chair is here, and he said, no, we actually don't accept this at all. It was kind of not maybe the review of the third SAFC appeal.
Ahmed.
I know, Elon, you said this is going to be contentious, and I think you are right, but I think it's already like 5:50, so I'm going to actually move to end discussion on this.
It's been a motion to end discussion. Is there a second? All right. And then I'm just going to end discussion. Thank you for bringing this forward. If you have any other comments or questions about this document, please bring those forward to Greenberg or Lavin. We appreciate the hard work that you've put into this. On to Appendix B, Discussion and Resolution 22 by Vice President Gay. Welcome.
Thank you,
CJ. What's that? We're going through Appendix B, and it's Resolution 22.
My friend Ryan is going to help me to go through this.
Okay.
Just because I believe representatives from CUEMS are here, I'm going to just step forward and go ahead and talk about this now. So if everybody wants to turn to CUEMS.
Xerox stuff.
Isn't it quite the format?
What is this?
I just told it.
It appears as if there is a we're in a bit of a pickle when it looks at this.
It's Greek in there.
Xerox.
Chinese as well. The bottom of page 4.
What is it?
It's Chinese.
All right.
Ari, do you have a decoder ring?
All right, guys, thank you very much for coming today. Right now, as you know, we've talked about this. The stipulations say that you can only save around $5,000 each fiscal year towards the purchase of the vehicle. And so there's a couple of issues that have been brought up this semester just to some continuing circumstances. So you want to just address them very quickly?
Sure, absolutely. Just first of all, my name is Ryan O'Halloran. I'm the current director of Cornell University of EMS, and this is sort of relevant to their finance officer this year. So thank you for your time today. And what we're looking to do actually is some things that have changed a lot in how our organization functioned in the last few years. And I'm very consistent with the budget that we just discussed. But unfortunately, some things have changed, obviously, with how things are done. And what we're looking to do is because putting away $5,000 a year with an expected new truck purchase in 5 years saves us $25,000.
Plus interest.
I'm sorry.
Plus interest.
Plus interest, correct, but roughly $25,000 to $30,000, neither of which is enough money to purchase a new vehicle. The reason that doesn't work in the past has been because we have sold an older vehicle and gotten a certain amount of money from that, in addition to what we have saved over 5 to 6 years, and in addition to some things that we're supplementing with other areas of our budget. That currently would not be possible because as our service expands and the student body gets a lot more requests on our resources, whether it be events or that our call volume has gone up by 22% from last year, we are unable to afford those costs that we have in the past. Now, we can afford the vehicle with the way our budget is now, but the flexibility that we need is to be able to save that money in a larger number than $5,000 a year. And what we're looking to do is to save an average of $10,000 a year, which is double that number, but with one additional flexibility that we would be able to save $20,000 over 2 years, meaning because of some emergency costs that come up, a lot of these things being infection control or damage to our vehicle like we incurred from anything or just routine costs that come up that are, emergency situations like fixing a brake problem or something like that. So what we would be looking to do is to make the same stipulation that we would be able to save an average of $10,000 a year given $20,000 over 2 years. So if it was $7,000 the first year, we can save $13,000 next year to stay on schedule. And that would be what we're asking.
Okay, thank you very much. What my recommendation, because we've talked about this, there's been a couple issues this year just with the financing arrangements, and my recommendation to the assembly would be that we just cut out the clause which limits them to $5,000, and given their leadership over the past few years, my recommendation would be that it isn't a problem if we just take that out and leave the second clause in there that relates to the year. And then we could address this in 2 years when there's the next set of assemblies can address this.
So you're motioning to amend that part.
Right. When we get there.
We can do this right now because they're here.
Yep.
All right. So there's been a motion to strike EMS may save no more than $5,000 per fiscal year toward the purchase of a new vehicle. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
All right. We'll open up a speakers list. Start with NASDAQ. Minock. Yeah, I got it. 2 minutes. I got you.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Given what Ryan just said, I don't see any reason to strike it. I just think that we should change the over because these rules apply for the next 2 years for the change in number five change duration superseding. Just changing to say that EMS may put no more than $20,000 over this bond funding cycle for the purchase of a new vehicle. That seems that would work for them for what they said. And I don't, there must be a reason that restriction is there to begin with. I don't see why we should just absolutely remove it. And so with that, I move to amend Gay's amendment.
I'll withdraw as my amendment.
All right. He's withdrawn his amendment.
I'll propose
what you want.
So I move that the amendment to say EMS may save no more than $20,000. So to take out $5,000 per fiscal year, change that to no more than $20,000 over this bond funding cycle. So would that, what is the appropriate term? Over
during the 2000-2010 bond funding cycle.
May save no more than $20,000 during the 2008 to 2010.
It's not on the activity fee. If you
want allocation, to
say,
student fee.
They save no more than $20,000 over the next 2 years towards the purchase of a new vehicle.
For a second to the motion. Is there any dissent?
Well, could we
hold on, no. No. He made him. We have to open up another speaker's list on this, and then we can recognize them. Wang?
Oh, my name is my son.
Go ahead.
No, this is... I had a quick question for you. I was just wondering how much...
We're opening up a speaker's list because there's an amendment.
I didn't hear the last part of what you just said. How much is the vehicle and how many vehicles do you have right now? Okay, so Court LAMS has one vehicle, and we operate that one vehicle with all the amendments that we do on campus in addition to classes we do on campus in addition to 911 calls and event coverage as well. That is extremely daunting on the vehicle itself. Our warranty expires by mileage well before the years expire, so our costs
Andrew, do you still dissent to the... Okay, so he withdraws his dissent.
I have a point of information.
Yep. Who owns the vehicle, Ryan?
The vehicle is owned by Cornell University, officially
insured by Cornell
University.
Do you have a point of information?
No,
he had dissent. No, that was he withdrew his motion. The speaker's list was deleted. All right. Is there any dissent to the amendment that NASDAQ proposed?
Discuss it or?
Is there any dissent to adding it, to change, to putting it in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Dissent.
There's
I have
dissent.
Question.
Go ahead, Matt.
No, I'd like to know from the group, even with this limitation or guideline that you said would seemingly work, would it be more ideal for the group and operations of the group to not have this, A? And I guess, B, I would just like to say, I mean, say we don't, obviously, yeah, this was put here, obviously, for a reason the previous year. Something either happened or something thought it would be most appropriate. But it looks like, to me, the stipulation hasn't been working. It hasn't been giving them the appropriate flexibility, and now they're finding themselves in certain situations, why not. I don't see the reason why we can't have this, and then when the budget is looked at again, again in 2 years, like it is every 2 years, the assembly can see then if they need to put in a stipulation. But if we see now, because of the situation they're in, that it's not working, I think we should take it out. I don't want to constrain the group, and now they're running into problems with their operations. I don't know. So I just. But can you answer my first question?
Can you answer the question, and then we'll vote on whether or not we're taking this, and then we can go back.
Absolutely. With entirely me, to be entirely flexible and not have a stipulation at all would be ideal. And the only reason that we're proposing this.
Why would it be ideal?
It would be ideal because these types of costs that arise, like we had this past week, which we can address in a few minutes if you'd like, damages and routine type of maintenance on the truck can sometimes, be large costs that we're not anticipating, in thousands of dollars. In addition, if we have issues that are some sort of, healthcare concern, if we have somebody with a needle stick that turns out to be somebody who's an infected patient, we're talking about thousands of dollars of costs. These are things that are not anticipated. They are built into our budget. We do have a reserve. But in order to, continue with that and also have the ability to save money for a vehicle, having the stipulations where we can only save up to $5,000 as it was is difficult. Up to 10 with an average of 20 over 2 years, which, allows us more flexibility, will work. And that's perfectly fine. That's why we're proposing that. However, not having, the stipulation at all would be obviously a little bit more ideal if we can move things.
All right. NASDAQ has a motion on the floor. There's an amendment. Yep.
Two good questions. One is, what is the allocation recommended for that?
$336.
$336 per
year.
That amounts to
per year.
About $40,000. No. 2 years, $80,000. So we're allowing about a quarter of the budget. The second question is, if there are some of these unforeseen circumstances or costs that come up, is there a situation here that they can overbuild these?
Right. It's part of the SA charter. We can go into it at any time and review it by a two-thirds majority.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right.
Voting on
no, we're opening up a speaker's list. Who would like to speak? Ahmed first.
On the MASDAQ motion.
Yep, this is on MASDAQ's amendment that EMS may save no more than $20,000 over the next 2 years toward the purchase of a new vehicle.
I think the system is pretty good. I think that what Ryan said is very good, which is that this will work and this is perfectly acceptable. And that's the criteria that we need for us to pass this. I don't understand why we just have no oversight at all. I mean, I understand that having no stipulation on any group would be ideal for the group, but we as an assembly still have a responsibility to maintain accountability. So we still have to keep that in mind. Not that I doubt CUMS would be accountable, but I'm just saying it's out of our duty to the public, to the student body whose money we're allocating, to have some sort of oversight. So with that said, I'm going to call a question.
You call a question? Is there a second?
Actually, I'm not going to call a question. I just draw my own.
Fine. You have 30 seconds if you want to respond to that.
The reason that we have suggested the $10,000 or $20,000 for 2 years is to acknowledge the fact that the student assembly has obviously put that stipulation in place to exercise a degree of control and responsibility to monitor what we're spending and what we're saving. And that's the reason we're proposing this. I say that it is ideal for us not to have it only because the nature of our organization and what we do is very unpredictable. The rise in 20% of our call volume and obviously the gas prices tripling, things like this. Those costs are not things that we could have predicted, and by nature of our organization, we need to move a lot of funds around a lot of times to do this type of thing. And the reason to provide the most efficient service would be ideal not to have that disposition at all. So the one that I'm proposing is in order to, you know, give the students that ability to have that control, as it had in the past for whatever reason it develops.
Vince.
Yeah. I just want to go back more fundamentally. Why doesn't the university contribute anything to the vehicle if they own it?
It's insured under Cornell University, our organization owns it. It's a very complicated situation where we are, and this is still on the table with the student activities office and the dean of students office. Actually, Cornell University EMS being a university organization, but still a student organization, and we're much of a hybrid in the way we spend money and the way we save money, and what stipulations we have to follow and what those that we don't that the university allocates. It's a complicated situation with how our truck is purchased. It's purchased on a state contract using the university's name, and it's insured under the university, but it's owned by our organization. It's a little bit of a complicated twist around, but we purchased the vehicle. Cornell insures it, and it's registered.
One information, CJ, could you read the current amendment, which is actually on the floor right now?
EMS may save no more than $20,000 over the next 2 years towards the purchase of a new vehicle. You have 30 seconds.
It feels kind of troubling that the university is benefiting so much from us having EMS, and they're not contributing anything to the vehicle. Can you comment on that, Dean?
Let's just point out that the university contributes a tremendous amount of money also for slope day, convocation, and a number of other activities. Okay.
They come in to benefit from activities.
They don't benefit from slope day. Go ahead.
If I can say it's a very complicated issue, I don't think I can answer the question. There's been a lot of around. I don't know if you guys have met, but we spent last year on several occasions trying to work out arrangements that permit students to do this work on campus and permits university, to support that appropriately. So it's a very complicated issue, and if you want the details of that, I suspect we'll have to invite somebody who knows a lot more than I do to explain it to you.
Lavin. Your time's over.
Well,
I call the question. I'm going to call the question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I will remind everyone of the amendment. EMS may save no more than $20,000 over the next 2 years towards the purchase of a new vehicle. Are there any questions about the amendment?
CJ, can you be clear on what kind of majority we need?
This is a piece of legislation being considered by the Assembly. It needs a majority to be included, but
no,
then it needs
I think we decided last week it was important. We're going to do an individual interview, 2/3 at each point.
Right, but it's an amendment to a piece of legislation, so it's a majority to put it in there, and then we're going to vote on it. It needs 2/3 to go in.
Oh, the amendment first then.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. all in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All opposed? Abstaining. All right. By a motion of vote of 14-2-3, that is now the amendment. EMS may save no more than $20,000 over the next 2 years for the purchase of a new vehicle. We'll begin discussing. We'll continue discussing the entire allocation and the stipulation. And Lavin is first on the list for that. For all of their stipulations. All CMS.
Correct. There's two. Right.
Why am I in this?
You were on the speaker's list.
No, that was for no. Yield my time.
He's yielded his time to the chair. Wang. We are going back to this all of CU EMS. Do you yield your time back to me?
Oh, actually, can I ask a quick question? How much is the vehicle? Oh, I'm sorry. The vehicle itself, depending on what size vehicle you use and the state contract that you would bring, anywhere between $25,000 to $45,000, $40,000. And in addition to that, specializing a vehicle with license and IRS driving outside, having to bring that to being designed for the carrier weight or not to go on
I'm still going to recommend, as we finish the discussion around CDMS, that we have struck, that we strike the first clause regarding their funding for two reasons. A, they've already demonstrated that clearly they need to make these very rapid decisions. I think the last one was going to be within a day. You can't have a vehicle off the road. It's inherent in CVMS, the fact they have a vehicle that can actually respond to this. And some members over here have been saying that, oh, it's okay, you could always bring this back to the assembly for some kind of another hearing a week later, a couple weeks later, and we could suspend these rules. But if something occurs, I think we need to keep it open enough that CVMS has the flexibility to be able to function if they will. This isn't, they're not, they already are constrained by A, their budget which they presented to us, the amount of funding they receive, what they can actually spend the money on. They can't do whatever they want with these funds. And secondly, they're going to be coming back before the student assembly in a year and a half for another round of filing funding where they're going to have to report back all of these expenditures. And it just makes sense that we go ahead and give them this latitude to fund the vehicle, to fund their expenses as needed on an emergency basis. And with that, I would move to, again, strike this first clause and vote on the entire CU EMS recommendation. So it would the only stipulation would include EMS may spend no more than $7,000 for the purchase of the defibrillator.
Vice President Gay has motion to strike the first clause under CU EMS. Is there a second? It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? All right. I can figure out what your dissent is, so we're just going to go right into the speaker's list. NASDAQ.
Okay.
2 minutes.
I think we just gave some matter. More than the majority just wants to put in. I think that stipulation should be there. Going back to what Ryan was saying about, you know, I said previously, well, why would we do it in the first place? Because, like I demonstrated, they have approximately $80,000 budget. Us telling them they can't use more than $20,000, $80,000 over 2 years. Us telling them they can't use more than $20,000 over the 2 years, I think is reasonable. That's about a quarter of their budget. The rest of that thing should be put to, you know, non-material, non-vehicle expenses, other than the expenses for. They've told us that it will work. I think that it's responsible to have that restriction in there. And if there's any sort of extended restriction,
okay,
all of a sudden their budget needs to pull a little bit of that money, they can come and present to the SBA. If and when that happens, I'm sure the SBA will approve that, or that SBA will make a decision down the road. But for us to say that there could be this extended circumstance, which they already acknowledge there are extended circumstances, but this extended circumstance that would require them to jiggle this money around, which, you know, they've obviously made work up until this point. I think it's not a determination we should be making at this point. I don't think that this amendment is going to get any good to the restriction. I think that we've given EMS additional flexibility they've asked for on this issue. Can you come on the briefing list?
Five. More. Five more.
That's it.
The Ackman.
Okay. Yeah. This question to CJ, that amendment needs 2/3 to be passed, right?
It needs 2/3 ultimately to be put into the appendix.
I mean the striking, unfortunately, to actually strike out of the appendix, right?
No, it's not in the appendix yet. It's still a piece of active legislation, so it'd be an amendment and it requires majority.
Okay. I just want to say, like, I don't think that's, they said it will work. I think what Ryan said was perfect. I mean, as they said before, it would be ideal if there was no restriction on anything for any group. That would be ideal, I'm sure.
Just a point of personal privilege. Please stipulate which Ryan you're speaking about. The one to my left is getting confused.
For the clerk.
Sorry.
It is Ryan. Yes, President.
Do you hear
that's Ryan? Yes, Will the school, when you guys came and requested this $20,000 and requested the leverage of doing it over 2 years, did you do so knowing that it would work for your organization, barring any other extremely large costs or unforeseen expenses such as our vehicle? How long has the $5,000 stipulation worked for your organization? Go ahead. Jordan's a better answer.
I'm going to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment, strike the first clause, which reads, CUEMS may save no more than $20,000 over the next 2 years toward the purchase of a new vehicle. Are there any questions about that? All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Abstaining.
I remind the assembly that.
Nope, you're out of order. Yes, your point of information.
Thanks, Siege. To approve any of these allocations, we have to reach a consensus at some point. Because we need to.
We're opening up a speaker's list.
Members of the assembly to actually approve of these amendments
that we don't have a speaker's list that you haven't been recognized. We're now forming a speaker's list to discuss CUEMS. Achman.
Motion to approve CUEMS's allocation and the stipulation.
There's been a motion to approve CUEMS's stipulations in Appendix B. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, CUEMS, I'll give you 2 minutes to speak on the issues and then.
Is your point of information?
Yep.
What is 2/3 of the members present?
I haven't counted how many people are here. 1, 2, 3.
Point of information,
isn't
it 2/3 of the voting membership charter?
It is a charter change. Yep. Right. 15. 2 minutes, go ahead.
I'm not going to take the entire 2 minutes. We appreciate your time. And the $20,000 stipulation, according to our calculations, will work, barring any really unforeseen circumstances. And this should, you know, work for us. As I said, the ideal situation would have been not to have a stipulation, but I understand the view. You know, the ability to control it and for us to be responsible as a body, we are.
As a reminder, this is a charter change and it requires 2/3 of the voting membership of the SA. Thank you, MASDAQ. So that's 15 individuals. Any community members, are there any community members that would like to speak on the issue? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He doesn't make it a vote.
Yes.
Not here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was skipped, but I vote yes. Steve Matthews votes yes.
Smith, you vote yes. Is anyone not called during the voting? Yes.
You're going to learn the level.
16-02, correct? All right. So that amendment passes. Thank you. We'll go back to the beginning.
We left off last time. We were at letter N of the open mandate, which constrained all of the groups. This was the paragraph that all organizations will be held automatically accountable to the student body.
Yes.
The one thing that last week, the last day of consideration of superseding, I don't think it's a different version of the rules, because this says, once approved, the original says, once approved by the SED, funding grounds shall take effect on July 1st, 2004, which shall expire on June 30th, 2006. I thought the one we did the last time said 2006, 2006, 2006.
Yeah,
aside from the Xerox and the form characters there, throughout this document, makes it difficult to read. Is it even the right one?
Isn't that the same thing you had last week, right?
And bold.
You don't have a bold letter that says the numbers that say 2008 right there?
No, I do. What I'm saying is, this is the rules are not even the previous cycle. This is the rules that we're looking at now.
No, this is the most recent I had. This is the most recent I had. What particularly that dates?
I
think what happened is there was a typo in last week's appendix B, so it should have been changed, but it wasn't, and this was brought up by somebody. So
I don't think you get what I'm saying.
No,
this is the original version, not
right. And I'm saying it was a typo that nobody changed it in the last funding cycle.
Oh, we're talking about the date. Let's just strike it and move on. What are we talking about?
These are the most recent. It's just that portion with the date is not consistent, okay? And if we find anything that...
They're numbered.
Right. We've changed the numbers for the dates to update everything. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks. Where we left off last time, letter N, that all organizations will be held programmatically accountable to 16 bodies in the same vision.
We will now open a speaker's list to begin discussing this. NASDAQ. It's been a motion to approve that change. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Adam?
I'd like to remind, because there are a significant number of people who weren't here while we discussed this, and eventually we ended the discussion because we no longer had to serve out the voting membership.
NASDAQ, do you withdraw your motion?
No.
All in favor of calling a question on this particular stipulation, all organizations will be held programmatically accountable to the student assembly and the SA, student body and the SA, please raise your hand. Calling the question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All opposed? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Abstaining. By a vote of 5-11, the motion fails. We'll continue with the speaker's list. Adam.
As the sentiment was expressed last week, putting in a broad clause that is unenforceable, doesn't distinguish between the violent-informed organizations and their subsidiary organizations, and ultimately a clause which does nothing to actually hold these organizations accountable for what you guys are afraid of is going to happen to violent funds. I think we need to strike this now, because as we clearly established, any organization which you view to be breaking with their charter, as our charter, or the mission of the university, can be called before the student assembly to answer questions, and you did that a few weeks ago. I think it was one of you who said that you don't like putting in broad clauses which you can't enforce. And this is exactly that. So I would recommend that we strike this.
What information is it that you refer to?
It was somebody over here. Somebody missed it.
Continue. Are you making a motion or a recommendation?
I'm making a motion to strike this clause.
Is it a motion to strike stipulation N under Section 3 of Appendix B of the Student Assembly Charter? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? All right. We'll just open up the speakers list. We're going to just start discussing it. You can get on the speakers list. All right. NASDAQ.
I have a quick point of information.
Yep.
If we're discussing, did we vote to include this in there?
No. It hasn't been voted on.
We don't have to
amend something we haven't included yet. We still have to vote on including.
It's a piece of proposed legislation on the floor. It's owned by the Assembly, and now has to be decided upon whether or not the Assembly is okay with making this change, so it's a majority required to change it. NASDAQ, 2 minutes.
Thank you. Adam, I assume what you're saying is that our difficulty in force, the fact of the matter is that the question should be whether or not the principle, you know, what's there, should be there or not. And I think it sort of goes along with what Ryan said at the meeting we had at BioSec, which, you know, he suggested perhaps including all the charters of all the organizations within our documentation. It just gives us ownership over what the organizations do. I think it adds some legitimacy to it. And I think that I suggest, and I don't know why it's not in here, but the beginning part, that Adam, you include something about what action can be taken against groups who don't follow what's in these stipulations. Put an aside, what's already in there, letters A through M, if they don't follow those or their individual group stipulations, that something more concrete is in there about what action can be taken against them. I don't know why they're not in here, or why they're not in such recognition. No, but it's not.
1 minute.
But 1 minute. I think it's important to have that in there, that we say that, you know, just adds accountability to the groups. So,
okay.
How many
more?
Five
more. And now Vince, six. That's my discretion. Are you making a motion or are you yielding your time?
I'm asking a question.
Vice President Jay.
Call the question.
There's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Wow.
Is there,
dissent.
There is dissent. Lavin?
There are, what, six, seven people in the speaker's list?
All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. One, two, three. All opposed. Yeah, we just voted. And four. All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. All opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. Abstaining? None. We'll continue. Adam.
I yield my time to Ashley.
I mean, this is just stupid in my opinion. I don't think that we're so far from the trigger that we can estimate like what particular communities might need in their programming that we would be able to make them accountable. What does it even mean that we're going to like not let them do certain programming because we as an assembly don't think it's appropriate? There are plenty of programs that I can name by name right now that are absolutely ridiculous that are going on in the next week. But I'm not a part of the community that's going to go to them. I'm not the person that's going to want to go. So I don't think that I should somehow be censoring the people who want to bring them in and serve the needs of their own community. It's stupid. We should change it up.
Ackman.
Okay. I'm just going to actually respond very quickly to Ashley. I think it is very important for us to maintain a place of free speech and free inquiry of ideas. And I think a lot of programs we're going to disagree with are going to take place. I think that students should express their disinterest. The only problem I see is that a lot of these programs are byline funded directly by student money. And to say that like students through the representative have no way of controlling their money once they allocate it. I mean, if we're so far superior that we can't, if we're so inferior that we can't make a judgment about which program is good or bad, why are we so, you know, good enough to tell people that this is how they should be spending their money?
Point of information to the chair, are students banned from protesting events at Cornell University?
That has nothing to do with my
no.
That's not even the point. I'm saying that protest is one thing, but actual effective sort of actual change.
30 seconds.
The only organization that has that power is the student assembly. I think it is very important to have free speech, and it's very important for us not to censor people, but it's also very important to have accountability because we are spending people's money on things. It's not your money that you're allocating, it's someone else's money. And if it's someone else's money and you feel you're, you know, superior enough to allocate it, then you should feel superior enough to make some sort of judgment when we have some, you know, something like that. And we have some sort of statement like this.
Speaker Simon, sorry, Lavin.
Yes, I actually was going back and forth because, I mean, first I'm thinking, well, we kind of already are indirectly programmatically accountable and why not make it official, back and forth. But I think it's best that we are indirectly programmatically accountable. I think this already is accomplished with us approving everyone's budget every 2 years. I think this is unnecessary, and it does. I have one more question.
Second. So I call the question for a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. Just a reminder, the amendment is, the change here is all organizations will be held programmatically accountable to the Student Assembly and the SA.
And to be clear, this is an addition, so if this doesn't pass, it's not going to be included.
Right. Where did
Yeah.
Okay, so.
The amendment. We're voting on this clause.
Whether or not to put it in. Right. All right, so as a reminder, this is a charter change to add to the charter, so it requires 2/3 of the individuals here present to appear. Please clarify. I'm confused too.
Last week, as we discussed, what we're going to do is instead of voting on this document as a whole, because we never get to this, so someone's going to disagree with some part of it, we're going to go clause by clause, group by group, and vote on these things as individual changes to our charter, to the appendix. So that means for each one, like for example, CUMS, we voted on each particular one, which are majority, and voted on the whole package. We're going to do that for every individual group. However, see, this is the first part, individual clauses. These are also 2/3 each, as we discussed last week.
So this requires 2/3 of the right. Okay. So 2/3 of the people on the assembly, so that's 15. Clerk, please hold on. We're voting to include this in the picture. Just letter N. We're going piece by piece. Every change or deletion or modification we're voting on 2/3, so we don't have to do the whole thing.
Correct.
Right, we can go back. Absolutely. 15 people required. Clerk, please call the roll.
No. Yes.
No.
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 Nope.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Is anyone not called? By a vote of genuine. Anyone else? By a vote of 5-14, the motion fails. The amendment fails. What's next?
Unless there's any other additions or amendments to number 2, the preamble, or students in the role and obligations.
Move on to the groups.
I motion to extend the meeting for 15 minutes.
There's been a motion to extend the end of the meeting time to 6:45 p.m. Is there a second?
Three.
Three.
Like a half an hour.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay.
7. You withdraw and change it to 7?
Yeah. Fine.
Is there a second?
Seven.
Is there any dissent? All in favor of moving the meeting time to 7 p.m., please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Did you vote twice for yourself?
Yes, we're recording.
All right, the end of the meeting time is now 7 p.m. Briefly stepping down as chair. Go ahead.
Okay, are there any motions, are there any amendments for the any of the preamble before we move on to the groups?
Preamble or number 2?
Yeah.
Or number 3?
Preamble of number 2 or number 3?
And this part where there's something about
I don't know.
You want to give us reference points?
What do you
mean? I can read the thing, but what I'm saying is that last time we discussed it about something be included, it seems like Adam is not in favor of all the things that he's included in here. So obviously, this recommendation was made to add something that says if an organization does not follow these guidelines, some kind of action will be taken. And I don't see that addition.
What did you have to say about me being in favor of something, though?
Nasdaq, do you want to propose your amendment to this? Okay. If it's, can everyone refocus? We extended for a half hour. Let's use the half hour. Mazdeck, do you want to, okay, you want to add something of what section? Of the preamble. Two, three.
Section two.
Okay. We have a starting point.
Are you talking about 2F?
Okay, so it's
2F involves...
It's numbers E and F, so it's number 2. And it says...
Okay, and there's there.
The DPF person should be charged with investigation regarding violation of the report such findings to the SA. And also says F, in order for revocation of funding to occur, the two-thirds majority of the SA must concur. Reasons for revocation of funding include or not limited to violation of these rules, violation of campus policies, or violation of contracts.
Thank you for reading that to us. Now, what would you like to change?
I would like to make it more specific, and I'm asking Adam to see as his viewpoint as VPF, how we can make that more specific as it's actually enforceable.
As I think I said last time, I think that should be in the standing rules for each assembly to decide, because to actually articulate a thorough investigation and punishment process, it takes much more than a very broad roles and obligations. I don't think this is the proper place, I think I told you that last time. And I would be in favor of improving that standing.
Okay, what's next?
Are there any other
questions? Second, is there any dissent? Seeing none, as again, this is a charter change that requires 15 of 22. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
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 Yep.
No.
Yes.
No.
17-2, right? Any abstentions? No, obviously not. All right. Moving. Where am I?
Oh, is that your car?
Yeah. So we're moving on. We just did 1-3.
We just did that. All the preambles.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, all we have are 4 and 5 left, and 5 is straightforward. So not, yeah, we're only the numbers.
All right, so we're going, beginning with athletics. Yep. I'll begin a... Let me do that.
All right, so my recommendation for athletics, letter A, is the athletics department shall provide no-cost Big Red Sports Pass to every interested student during the fall semester each year. The athletics department must ensure that the BRSPs are available at no cost until October 15th of each year. After this time, students may purchase a BRSP at regular price, and then due to the formatting, these aren't broken out for free individual. But the second part is all students must be admitted to homecoming at no cost. And the third recommendation is in collaboration with the sports marketing group, the athletic department will promote Cornell athletics to the entire Cornell community. Another question, and now that's aside, that grabs the discussion, and a question which was brought up last week is why don't we include specific amounts we targeted to each portion of the tickets versus the promotion versus homecoming. And after looking at this further, as opposed to class councils, which is actually a combination of multiple organizations, multiple groups that have individual accounts for individuals, athletics is one department, and this money is going to one department. And I believe my understanding is any other place in the document where we break down these specific amounts which we're allocating to individual portions, they're in separate accounts because they're separate from the class councils, individual groups, and each group is allocated a specific amount of money. And I think the only other time we break that out is also for, like,
who's the
I guess you could restrict it to you in that one.
you put a restriction on there, but that's separate than articulating a certain dollar amount, which is what it is. So my recommendation is that, given that the budget that they have to stick to, that they applied with, that we approved, our budget is that we go ahead and approve this as is, so we don't think there's any issues with which departments. I believe it's all going to one athletic department account.
All right. Speakers list, NASDAQ.
Can you just tell me what the numbers were real quick? The
995. 995 total, and I believe it was 6, I don't know, it was 635, 285, and...
What are the ones? Yeah, what's the difference?
That was
4, 3,
and
then
that was 4.
Could be right.
615.
No, does anybody have... Do you have to just... That's
no,
total. Total needs to sum to 995.
I have. Bear with us. We're looking it up. As you look that up, Ahmed. Yeah, we'll come back.
I just see that you told me last time in Biotech that you were going to be talking to them about hockey tickets.
Oh, right. I did. Yeah, I'll follow up. I did meet with Andy Noel, and I mentioned it to him. It was not the primary purpose of my meeting with him, but I did mention it at the end. I mentioned your suggestion, and he said they could probably work around that. And that's something that I think it's more appropriate that the next assembly does. I think the key...
Well, they could work around it. I think they could do it.
They could make that happen. The key...
Well,
the key... Well, we have to consult him first, and then...
He
said they would be open to it, and they could probably work something around that, but I don't think... I think it's more appropriate that he is willing to discuss it, and it can be added to the charter.
I think we should have it. I don't think it's appropriate to wait. But the other thing I was going to tell you also is I'm curious what the Adam said, there's like no breakdown, it's just one.
There is a break. Can I respond?
Yeah.
What were you talking about?
Go ahead, Adam.
I said we already approved the breakdown as noted in their budget,
yeah.
And they've already agreed to fix it out. So.
But I'm just saying that's going to be the way to relationship.
Well, I recommend that since not as opposed to staff council, which holds separate accounts for each amount of money, since a separate organization, we're giving one organization. But we don't stipulate you can only send a certain dollar because we give them a
number.
We restrict how much to spend, but not
in the only reason, just listen to me for a second. The only reason I'm bringing it up is that was the same problem we had a few years back with the whole giving one money to one department with no stipulation. And just not knowing where our money goes. I'm not saying that that's going to be a problem, but we should preempt the same, instead of falling into the same problem again, we should learn from our mistakes and have some sort of breakdown that they know this is what we are agreeing upon. And I also think, CJ, how do I go about like putting these things in? After, I'm not worried about the breakdown, I'm worried more about the hockey piece. I'll try to manage the breakdown. How do I put that in right now?
Because it's a piece of...
But
it's a piece of legislation that the Assembly is considering, so if you would like to make an amendment to that, then we
I would like to make an amendment to add the hockey ticket that the Department of Athletics will keep talking hockey ticket prices fixed for the duration of byline funding.
Keep talking about it? Like
I said, keep hockey ticket prices fixed.
For the duration, I mean, I don't
the
think
duration
it's...
Of a
testifying?
I mean, just because he doesn't like it, doesn't mean
I'm not, but it's also out of our purview, and we haven't discussed it.
I thought you just said he did.
But he hasn't been here, and he hasn't discussed the finances with us, and the standing rules say that we can't enact any piece of legislation
but
without discussing the people.
You told us the last meeting you would do it. Why didn't you tell someone else that we didn't want to do it?
All right. Repeat what your amendment is.
Prices. The athletic department will keep hockey ticket prices fixed for the duration of bylaw funding cycle.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? Jay.
Right.
2 minutes.
All right. All right, thanks.
Yep.
First of all, CJ did discuss this. He brought this to him. And as I remember, you actually discussed this with Andy Noel last semester when he was here. And he specifically said, obviously he looked at that, but this is something that we're going to put into our charter because it's not necessarily possible to be enacted immediately. And secondly, this... Let me finish. This is...
It's not your time, Ahmed.
Doing this after the fact is akin to going to class councils and completely changing their allocation now after we already agreed to something last semester. This stipulation was never discussed, never agreed upon with athletics when we actually discussed the allocation. You didn't like the allocation. I believe you voted against it and you brought up this issue. And while I agree, it'd be great to be in the student's interest to have this. And I think he and Danny agrees with that. It's terrible. How does that look to do something after the fact? We've already agreed in spirit to this $9.95 allocation, go back and say, oh, you know what? We're also going to attach the stipulation to it, which we never agreed to in the past. We're going to just put this on, add this on at the end now. We don't do that with any other organization. If you look at any other organization in here, every single stipulation which you're going to include was discussed and agreed upon with them, either in their budget or during the process.
30 seconds.
There's nowhere else where you even thought of doing this, going back and saying, we're holding you to it, say, oh, now that we have you with this 995, we're going to go back and demand that you do this. I agree, it's a good thing for students, but in no way should we include this in our guidelines. And it's absurd. This completely breaks precedent. It's absurd.
Gladly.
I don't want to repeat things he said. We've made way too many strides with our relationship with the athletic department. That just was not in any of the conversations when we were talking about when we presented the budget for byline funding. It would just seem like very, very inappropriate. He said everything.
Hartman.
Yeah, I'm going to move this next week and request that athletics come forward. We can discuss it in front of them. If
athletics
agrees to it, it's a benefit to the student body, and I have no problem with putting it.
Point of information. My point of information is that I thought, CJ, Chair, did we not just bring this up when the athletic director was here and the sentiment was clear?
I don't
want to be repetitive in bringing administrators who have things to do. That I thought that was covered.
Can I comment on that? He did come and ask me. I didn't like an answer, but
he wanted permission, an actual point.
He said he could work around it, so we can bring him to this meeting next week, and I'll ask him. I don't know his schedule. We can, if he's not available, then we run that risk. But he can send a representative. We'll speak to him in the next week, and then we can discuss it. There's been a motion to table this part of athletic. It's been seconded, and there is dissent.
I just want to mention, did you ever find the numbers for the labor guys?
No.
Go on to that. You
mind? I'm asking a question from the chair.
We don't have the numbers.
So, okay.
All right, I'm going to end discussion on athletics. We're just going to move on to class council.
Well,
yep.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the remainder of Section 4. Reason for that, I'm going to Section 4. Most of this stuff relatively unintentional. I'll add a similar to take a quick look.
We're moving on. Fine. The sports cast has been tabled. We're moving on to class councils. We're forming a speakers list. If Representative Greenberg would like to make the motion on the speakers list for class council, he can do so. Went once. Class councils, we begin the speakers list. I'm stepping down as chair because there's a conflict of interest with class councils, so Vice President Lyon will chair the meeting.
Speaker's list is now open to discuss class counsel. Representative Greenberg.
I make a motion to approve class counsel, honorable
section
4.
Second.
There has been a second. Is there any dissent?
I would support that if I'm asking you to issue an SAFC from that revenue field, but I want to add something to that, and then I would be able to approve the resolution.
Does Representative Greenberg find that friendly?
Just let's go through everyone.
Is there any dissent? Is there any dissent to the amendment? What? Can everyone stop talking? What? Okay. Is there any dissent? Repeat your amendment. Sorry. Including the SAC. Excluding SAC. The amendment is
to save SAFC.
Motion to approve everything except for SAFC. And the organization specific guidelines of section 4. Is there any dissent? Dissent. Representative Wang, explain your dissent.
There's something on the OSD that I want to get rid of.
Okay, we're going to now vote on approving all of Section 4 except for the section of SAFC. If you would like to vote, if you would like to move to a vote, please raise your hand. Hi. All opposed? That's it. Motion fails.
I'll withdraw the appropriate report from now.
But I think the dissent was referred to OSC.
Right, but I think it's...
Okay, all right, so that's your motion.
You haven't said it clearly again.
Yes, I will. Representative Greenberg, can you please repeat your motion with your new friendly change? Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Of course.
We are now going. Representative Hartman is claiming dissent.
Yes. The third clause of class counsel. TJ can kind of time that. All seniors on the SA and student elected trustees who are seniors will be invited to participate in the selection of a convocation speaker. That actually should be changed to juniors. And then seniors are like.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not going to entertain this motion. We're going to go to class council. Everyone's just bringing I think we've hit now on half the groups that people are concerned with. We've hit about five groups. We're now going to vote on Representative Greenberg's amendment to approve all Section 4 except for... SAFC and Slope Day Programming Board. All in favor, please raise your hand. Your hand's raising. Scratch it. keep them high and don't scratch. All opposed.
It is going to be an eye. Yep, that passes.
Motion passes. Okay, now we are going to open up this.
We have an opening discussion for all
community. Yeah, well, an opening up discussion for the two individuals. We're now opening discussion for SAFC.
We have to vote on.
Excuse me, I apologize. We're now voting on approving all Section 4 except for SAFC and Slope Day Programming Board. So the clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
No.
No.
You have to call Representative Slipman.
Abstain.
What do you have on this?
Coombs.
Oh, did you call Coombs?
I'm
abstain.
Okay.
That's
what you have. What do you have?
What is it?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
But moving on
the count
line.
I abstain.
You should vote, though.
Okay, I don't vote.
He just didn't vote.
Is it still 15?
He still is 15. It doesn't.
15. It passes 2/3 of the voting membership.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. Thank you. So those portions of the appendix are approved. Let's go on to SAFC. It's on, since these aren't numbered, SAFC's there. Adam, tell us about SAFC.
I think we'll just open it up to questions because people have them in the way.
NASDAQ.
Okay, two things. One of them is the members of the time that went up, but Adam, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Xerox down. That's $5 per student per year to replace the university down with the cost, which I never remember what that was. If you can speak to that on one time, if I start trying, and a second, that'd be great. But I would like to amend it to say, at the end, the SAFC will be responsible to fund all administrative costs, including but not limited to use of office assembly's clerk, food, copies for meetings, etc. T-shirts, polo shirts, etc.
Can you repeat your amendments?
Sure.
Read it slowly.
Sure, sorry. The SAFC will be responsible for funding all administrative costs. Associated with their operation, including but not limited to.
Hold on.
I have it separated.
Okay. Go ahead.
Including but not limited to use of office assembly square, food for meals. Copy
and shirts.
Just shirts.
I second.
There's been a second to the amendment. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the amendment is active in the legislation and it reads, SAFC will be responsible for funding all administrative costs associated with their organization, including but not limited to the use of the Office of Assembly's clerk, food for meetings, copies, and shirts. Correct?
Yes. Adam, unless you can explain the down fund, I'd like to strike that.
No, I'd be happy to explain it. How much time does he have left?
His time is 1 minute.
Okay. I talked to Peggy and Ari and Terry about this. I think it's around $300,000, and it does exist. As of yet, there are no kind of any official guidelines as to its use. It's not large enough yet. It's relative in scope of the SASD funding. It's a little small.
So, if I may, what do they plan on using it for down the line?
I'm not sure what the plan is at this point.
Is Ari over there? Okay.
It's still a small down, so.
I think I know. Okay. Well, I thank everyone for approving the administrative expenses change. I would ask that the chair table this section as well, and we invite Peggy, who's knowledgeable about it, around the fund, to tell us. I appreciate that Adam's done with finding out what it is, but it's problematic that $300,000 is too much. We don't know what's
going to
happen with this.
All right.
Fine.
Not
$300,000 total. $300,000. It
has $300,000 in the IRS. Fine. All right. So SAFC, we'll table that and we'll bring Ari and Peggy to next week's meeting so that they can answer the questions and then we can also get the questions answered for Slope Day because I assume that we need to answer some questions about that, correct? It's in there, yes. It's part of the legislation. I mean, it's active in the legislation. It has been approved by two-thirds of the Senate. All right, so I've tabled this. We're ending discussion, and we're going to table it until next week until we have more information and the necessary parts.
Can I just motion that we approve 5 today, so we're all done with the number 5, the
race. Yeah, we could do that. There's been a motion to approve Section 5 of Appendix B. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
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 Yep.
Yes.
By a vote of 18 to 0, that passes. So now that we have, we're going to bring slope day back next week.
Do we need to
table slope? Fine, let's do slope day.
The word MGPS saving from the first from 0 to 6 to be stricken out, and also the second GPS saving to say other funding entities. This has something very on their appendix.
Could you clarify exactly what
you're this information must be reported to the student assembly, and she wants the part stricken up. And GPSA. That's the first one. And,
She doesn't want the information.
This is it.
What?
This information is
already
included.
No, because it's already in there.
That doesn't, just because it's in theirs doesn't mean we can't have it in ours. They could remove it, and then there's no reporting required.
Well, that was just our recommendation. We don't have to approve it. And the other one was, when it says revenue is proportional funding relative to where it says GBSA, she wants it to be other funding entities.
Right, well, she is not a voting member of the student assembly. You are. If you would like to make the recommendation, then you can. Otherwise, she can't make a. So you are motioning to strike. So it now reads, this information must be reported to the student assembly during the fall semester during slip day. Strike and GPSA.
And change it to other funding entities.
Relative to the, and then other funding entities.
Point of information, it's two motions, two separate motions.
I believe he's making this as one motion to strike. We can split the question. What?
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Is there a second? There's not.
Nasdaq.
There's been a motion to approve slope days allocation and stipulations in Appendix D. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
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 Okay.
What is she?
She's great.
Yes!
Kill me.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
100%.
Yep.
Yes.
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 Passes unanimously. There's been motion and second. Is there any dissent? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
For the record, Lavin says the clerk is
right. 6:30. We feel really bad for them. I don't know. I just leave. Philanthropy. Who gave me this? Who gave me this? Did you
not
do the plan?
No, it's not. I thought it was mine. It wasn't mine.
I'm saving it. I like it. If I have a hard time with Jimmy, he's going to hold this up.
Sign,
I'm going to use you like no one's used you before.
Oh,
and the mic is still on. I like it.
Okay, I didn't even
catch it. Yeah, I didn't miss.
Again.
Kill me.
Again, Lavin says the clerk is feisty.
Feisty. In a good and productive way.
Feisty.
I spoke to Hanson already, and I have him on the record saying, "Wait,
each
show."
Yeah.
File out.
She worked. The lady who reported me that worked for Cornell on the music lab.
Really?
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.